Welcome to episode number 253 of the Family Podcast Network. Today we're going to have a show over power struggles and how it's the number one enemy to parenting, as well as a little bit of information about what the rest of this week's going to look at, as I've had some pretty crazy stuff happening in our family life. A little bit more about that here in just a second.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network, here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. It doesn't matter if you're expecting, if you're a brand new mom and dad, or even if you're a longtime seasoned parent, there is always something that we can do take our parenting to the next level. The date today is October the 9th, 2013. It's middle of the week Wednesday. That's right. We're getting to the halfway point, guys, to being wrapped up with the work week. Our topic for today is the power struggle. Parenting's number one enemy. I'm not doing that to be dramatic. I'm not doing that to catch people's attention. I mean, I really am doing that because I would be willing to bet that in many, if not most all cases, the number one thing that trips parents up is they get caught into power struggles with their kiddos. And a lot of times they think the solution to getting caught up in power struggles with their kids is to exercise more power and show them that, oh, I am the boss. I'm going to get this. I'm going to tell you guys today. I don't think that's right. I don't think that's the way to get to the places that we want to be as families. I think it has a tendency to create the opposite result that leads into more conflict later, even if we do get it out of them whenever they're young. We're going to talk a little bit about that here in just a minute. Just to come real clear with you guys, I want y'all to know, in full disclosure, not that it matters all that much or anybody in here is going to care, but this initially was actually the show that we set up last Tuesday. I started recording this last Tuesday. During the middle of this intro segment was when I actually got a phone call from my mom saying that my grandfather passed away, and we packed up on Wednesday and headed out and stayed there until Sunday evening of this last week. So anyway, this marks the official being back in the saddle and pretty much caught up, and we're going to go ahead and jump into our topic for today, which is the power struggle, something that I believe to be our parenting number one enemy. What I'm saying is the thing that I see the most persistent problem in parents, the thing that keeps coming up, that in most cases you show me a family that's really having a hard time outside of physiological problems, more often than not, it comes back to the power struggle. And even in those cases of physical disabilities, I think you're also looking at power struggles. But we'll get into that more in just a minute. Before we do that, let's jump into our housekeeping for today. If you guys want to get notified of all the new episodes that come out of Family Podcast, don't forget the simple way to do that. Go to thefamilypodcast.com over the right-hand side of the browser page. Enter in your name and your email address. When you do that, you will be put on a list so that every time we knock out a new show, or I'm letting you guys know why there's not a show coming out or anything like that, when we post that cool stuff, you guys get an immediate notification. Hey, here's the new show. Here's what it's about. Here's what you will not want to miss. We do that to make sure that you never miss out on that one episode that if you just would have heard, it could have changed everything about your week. Guys, also don't forget, we have a Facebook page. Come join us. We love talking to you guys on Facebook. Things slowed down a little bit this last week on Facebook just because I was out of pocket with being out of town with the funeral and et cetera. So I wasn't able to touch base with you guys. I'm slowly starting to catch up on some of those. So forgive the long latency time. We will be back in the saddle on those. I want to say thank you to everybody who sent out your warm and kind responses on Facebook. I can't begin to tell you how much those meant to me. Little comments, the emails you guys dropped, and the Facebook comments you put out on there meant a lot to me. I should appreciate it. Guys, don't forget we do have a blog. If you're a reader, you got to go check out our blog. My wife does our blog for the Family Podcast. She is our frontline lady who actually puts all this stuff into practice every single day. Even while I'm at work, she's putting all this mess to the test. Highly recommend you go check out her stuff over there at the blog, thefamilypodcastnetwork.com/blog. She has not knocked out a new post because she's been working on her own personal site. Go check it out. It is that good. Guys, don't forget, if you want to support the show, we I have a full-time job right now, and that full-time job takes up a lot of my daily tasks. And the end result, the end goal of this is to eventually be able to pull back and use this as our primary income source. When I can do that, I can devote more hours to this show, that I can make better stuff, put on more guest interviews, bring on some better things and better ideas, and overall just make this show a better place for the community of the Family Podcast. And so if you want to help make that a reality, help create the better show, to help create more options and opportunities and cool crap for you to have on here, more time that we can spend reaching out to cool advertisers and getting cool discounts, etc., there's a way you can do that. Become a PDACer, Parents for the Ethical Treatment of Adolescents and Kids. That's our funny little name that we made up. That is tongue-in-cheek, by the way. That is our funny little name for supporting the show. You can do that at $5 a month. That's right. You say, Trey, that didn't seem like very much. Can you really make it? You'd be surprised. We have probably, this show is about halfway self-sustaining at this point. With all the services that I purchased for you guys, we're about halfway there of being completely self-sustaining. So I just need a few more. Sign us up, and this show will be taking care of itself, and we can continue to build it. Also, guys, don't forget to share these kind of things out with other folks. Don't forget, make other people fall in love with Fame of Podcast Network as well. They're going to listen to you more than they're going to listen to me. And I can do the convincing on this end if you can just get them to listen. So don't forget about that, guys. You can also do $50 for an entire year if you wanted to support it that way. You can do it as well. It comes a little bit cheaper to you guys. There are premium content that is available only to you guys who become members. So check that out and come join our members area page. We want to have you guys on that. Last, if you guys have any questions, comments, or a show topic, there's a lot of ways that you can do that. Number one, you can always email me articles. Just shoot me an email, TreyGibson@thefamilypodcastnetwork.com. If you send me an email to that and say article for Trey, or funny show for Trey, or you know, something I want to hear your thoughts on from Trey, those kinds of things, I love answering those kinds of emails, and I'd love to put it on the show for you. You can also call into the show. We've made a couple cool ways that you can do that. Let's say you're on your phone. You can always call us at 661-PARENT-0. Again, that is 661-PARENT-0. Give us a call and leave a voicemail. We'll put your question on the show. You guys can also use the SpeakPipe app over on the right-hand side of thefamilypodcast.com. It says Ask Trey a Question. Click on that little hootis. When you do that, you'll be able to jack right in and ask a question as though you were doing it over phone, except you use your computer so long as you have a microphone built into your computer. You can also put a SpeakPipe app on your computer. So if you got a lot of questions that you're like, oh, man, I need to ask Trey about that, all you got to do is pop open that little SpeakPipe app and then ask your dad, give him a question through SpeakPipe right over your phone. You don't even have to use your phone line to do it. And it'll bring it in here, and we can put it on the show. So consider doing those things as well. Guys, you can always go and ask me a question on Facebook as well, instant message. I love responding to those. All right, I need to wrap it up, because I do not like keeping the intro segment very long for you guys. So we're going to get into our topic for today, which is the power struggle. Now, this isn't the first one I've ever done over the power struggle. Why am I bringing this back up? It's not because I wanted to bring up old material. It's because it is single-handedly the thing that not only in our family we struggle with the most, and we see popping or rearing its ugly little head up over and over here at this, on this show. But it's also an issue that I get the most questions. And a lot of times when you really boil down some of these questions, it comes back to one fundamental issue. You know, I'll get parents to say, you know, Trey, I'm having a hard time with my kid not wanting to stop. I mean, I had one a while back saying, you know, my kiddo doesn't want to stop breastfeeding. Sometimes I get questions, you know, I get things like, you know, my kid resists me and fights me or screams and yells at me, or I can't figure out why my kid is doing this. In a lot of cases, it almost always comes back to the power struggle. The problem that I have with responding directly with somebody and saying it sounds like a power struggle is that I don't know. There's so many factors that are in there that have to be considered when it comes to talking about what's going on with a family. A lot of families want me to come and diagnose what's going on in their parenting stuff. And sometimes you can do it with just a little bit of information and get a pretty good accurate response for them. But the reality is it's multivariate. There's just so many variables that can be considered and all that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to teach you guys what the power struggle is, what it looks like, and why it is so often a problem today. And I'm going to let you be the expert of your family. The reality is that you're the expert of your family, whether you want to, you know, want to be or not. But I want you guys to take the time, take the opportunity this week to ask yourself, are you getting into power struggle? I want to make sure that you guys understand it better today than you ever have before. Why? It all comes down to this. What do I say in almost all parenting issues, the problems that we're having and relating to our kids? What do I say it almost always comes back to? It almost always comes back to that word, control. The human desire to control, the belief that we can control our life, that we can control our situations, that we can control the things that challenge us, that we can control our spouses, and even that we can control our kids. See, the problem with this, why is that such an issue? Well, Trey, I mean, don't we want to have some control over our life? Don't we want to have control over our kids so they're not acting amok and running crazy? I say no. Now, did I just give you a free rein to let your kids off the chain whenever they go to a Walmart and knock crap off the aisles and scream up and down the aisle and kick the old lady and knock the old man over and steal the purse and all that other stuff? Did I just give permission to let your kids do that? No, of course not. I believe in kindness and thoughtfulness. I believe in those things, and I believe in our kids and being those things. And self-control and discipline, self-discipline. What I am saying is, there is nothing you can do to control your kid. Did you hear me? I'm going to say it again. There is nothing that you can do to control your kid. There are no parenting techniques. There are nothing that you can do that can control your kid. You can sit there and apply all the spankings that you want. You can apply all the discipline techniques that you want. You can apply all the rewarding that you want. The reality is, you do not control your kid. Okay? Do we get this clear? I'm not trying to be a jerk or a butt or a turd here. I just want that to penetrate your brain in a way that it has never done before. I need it to get through your head that you are not controlling your kid, not even through discipline. Now, you guys understand how I explain and define discipline. I do not define discipline as punishment. Punishment and discipline are very different things. When I say discipline, I'm referring to the original word that we pull from in the Greek, disciples, which means to teach and to train. That's what discipline is about, is we're trying to train our kids in the way they should go, right? But we do not control our kids. Even when we use this technique of discipline, the reality is that it all comes back to one fundamental thing. We can influence their behavior through reward. We can influence their behavior through fear of the punishment. But the reality is, they have to choose. Our kids have to choose the right thing. The goal in our life as parents is not to create a fear or to create a reward that makes them go to the thing that we want for the reinforcement or for the lack thereof, the reinforcement, e.g. a punishment in this case. Their goal is to make them want to go to it and to choose it. You see, the problem with control isn't the fact that we actually don't control anything or anyone, but the reality is that it also teaches our kids to seek control as well. We always say here on Family Podcast Network, who is watching us to learn everything they are going to do in our lives? Our kids are. If we are being controlling and manipulative, trying to push them into making decisions, erroneously believing that we have that control that we do not, guess what we are teaching our kids to be? One of two things. One, to be subservient, to do whatever somebody says simply because they believe that they are being controlled, even when the reality is that person is not controlling them. Yes, you can believe that you are being controlled, and reality is just as powerful as perception. But we do not control anyone. Whenever our kids believe that way, that is one of the two things that they can become. Number one is the subservient. Number two is they become controlling themselves. It always comes back to control. You say, well, Trey, is the subservient about control? How they act, is it about control? Absolutely. In their mindset, they see that the punishment that is doled out by the person that is over them, quote unquote, they begin to see that person as the person who has the power to inflict pain or give reward. And so in their mindset, what happens is they set up this belief system that as long as I perform this way and I get a good treat, I can control what they are giving me. As long as I do the things that are right and don't do the things that are wrong, I can control the pain that will be coming to me. Do you see how it all works? It all operates under this fundamentally erroneous belief that I can control another person. When it is unchecked, when this desire for control grows and grows until it turns itself into a nasty little beast, when it goes for too long, when control does not get questioned or challenged, when we do not challenge the idea whether we have control, guess what it turns into? It turns into the power struggle. You see, power struggle defines as an unpleasant or violent competition for power.
Control is an illusion, you infantile egomaniac. Nobody knows what's going to happen next. Not on a freeway, not in an airplane, not inside our own bodies, and certainly not on a racetrack with 40 other infantile egomaniacs.
It's one of my favorite quotes that actually comes from a show called Days of Thunder. I had Tom Cruise in it. It was about a race car driver. You don't have to appreciate NASCAR to love that show, but it was one of my favorite quotes out of the whole thing. Control is an illusion, you infantile egomaniac. And I think that's what some of us have become. Some of us quite intentionally because we want to believe that we have control and power over people and our kids included. And some of us accidentally fall into it because we're told that we should. We're told that we should be able to control our kids whenever they're in a store, whenever they're in a church. We should be able to control them. And there's some part of us that knows that it is our job to influence our kids and to grow them and see them become the healthy, wonderful adults that we want them to be. And we think that the answer is to control them. And this is what I see the majority of parents struggling with today. I'm actually going to tell you guys a few personal stories. One of the wonderful things about being a parenting person is that frequently I get phone calls to me. One of them is almost my wife, and she'll call and say, Trey, I need parenting advice now. And I did get permission from her to share this story. But we recently had an issue where we a while back, I keep telling you guys, I'm going to get you guys pictures of this. And I it was on my old phone, my old 3GS, and I just upgraded because it was just totally derping out on me. And I just didn't transfer the pictures to the photo stream. And so I haven't pulled them off the phone yet. But a while back, my kids really wanted to climb one of our really tall trees. And I'm talking, we're talking like a 10 to a 15 foot tall tree before it even branches out to where you can actually climb in it. And the kids wanted up there. And we told them, you know, if you do, you're going to have to build your own little platform. And the kids built this little platform, I mean, almost a 10-foot platform, so they could crawl into this tree. And it was really precarious. It was very scary, but we kind of let them do it just to let them exercise. And two out of our three kids climbed up in the tree and got back down. We needed some help getting back down because our little pedestal thing collapsed. But the reality was it was a major feat of overcoming their fear and building something and being smart and testing, and it was a wonderful experience overall. Well, the kids, while I was at work one day, and my wife was here, and for those of you guys who don't know, we do my kids homeschool or unschool, more specifically, and they were outside and they were playing it, and my wife walked outside and saw that Anna was building this pedestal again to climb another one of our trees. It was even a little bit taller than the previous one. This tree we've kind of asked them to stay away from. It's dead now. Unfortunately, in Texas, we had a hot summer last year, and several of our big, beautiful pecan trees just didn't make it. And one of them that she wanted to get in was one of the ones that's dead. So we've kind of asked them to stay away from that because we've had some pretty big branches falling off of this tree. So anyway, she was beginning to build something on this tree, and my wife came out there and said, Anna, no, let's don't climb this. To which my daughter said, well, why, Mom? Of course, there's the classic response by kids is why. And my wife just said, you know, I don't want you to fall, whatever this, you know, gave her some explanations. And Anna responded with, but I really want to do this. Why can't I do this? And it turned into a little bit further, until eventually my wife said she kind of snapped a little bit and was just like, because I said, you know, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. And she walked inside and she goes, Trey, I remember looking out the window and watching them. And my daughter looked and she goes, Trey, it wasn't defiant. She goes, I just remember that she just kind of looked at the door until the door closed, and I came around to the window and I watched him, and she just turned around and started building that pedestal again. She goes, Trey, I could see it in her eyes. It wasn't an act of defiance. It was just kind of a, I'm going to go ahead and do this anyway. So my wife came back outside and began just barking, you will not climb that tree, just you were going to, and you were not going to, and you were going to sit down, you're going to do this, and you're going to do that. And she called me and said, Trey, what do I need to do about this? I mean, how do I need to punish my daughter on this? Because she's obviously blatantly defying me. And I told my wife, I said, Corey, I can't answer this question. She's like, why can't you give me some kind of answer? What can I do? And I know, I asked her afterwards, and I know she was looking for that natural panacea that if I can just tell her to do this one thing, that Anna will come and feel her sorrow and apologize and never do it again. And I said, Corey, I can't give you anything on this. And she said, Trey, why can't you just give me something to do here? And I said, because the very thing that you're wanting to stifle in our daughter is the very thing that you're doing. I told her, I said, you're walking out here and you're saying you're going to stop doing this because I said you're going to stop doing this. So Anna then turned around and said, I am going to do this because I am going to do this. You see what was happening? I said, Corey, did you think about coming out there and asking her to meet in the middle? See if you could get her to climb a smaller tree or get her to see if she'll climb it with you out there? Well, no, I mean, I don't have time for that. Said, so what you're telling me is that because you didn't have enough time to do something that involved meeting in the middle, you took the approach of, you will do it my way or else. Well, I guess kind of I did. What did your daughter do back? Well, it doesn't matter, Trey. She was being defiant. That may be so. But the reality is you are doing the very thing that you're telling her not to. And I said, I can't give you some kind of punishment for her, some kind of disciplinary action for something that you're teaching her to do. Needless to say, my wife was not very happy with me. I think she may have hung up on me at that point. We did. I mean, we obviously called back and we talked a little bit later. But do you see what was happening? There was a power struggle. There was that desire, that unpleasant or violent competition for power here. Two people were pushing up against each other. A lot of times, you know, I also do a lot of work at the youth group here at the church that I often volunteer my time at. And I had a young lady come up to me the other day and said, Trey, I'm in this fight with my parents and I'm having all these problems and this was going on and I want them to respect me and my decisions. I'm old enough now to be making them and I'm basically adult now, which she really is. I mean, a lot of times kids will say that she really is an adult now. And, but you know, she, you know, Trey, I've got all these, and I, you know, they'll tell me that I can't come in at this time. So I just don't do it anyway. And they come and say something to me about it. So we get into these big fights. And so what I do with kids that come to me with these issues, I say, okay, let's talk about the power struggle. And I have them stand straight in front of me and I have them hold their hands out, palms flat, almost in put your hands up, you know, and that, like with, you know, police tell you to put your hands up. That's how you put them. You put them like that, except you extend them out in front of you just a little bit. And then what I do is I do my same thing with my hands. And I put them out in front of me, kind of in the hands up, but out in front of me just a few inches. And I press my hands up against theirs, and I begin to push on them. Well, naturally, guess what the other person does? They begin to push back. So then I push a little harder. Then they begin to push back. And then I push a little bit harder. And then they push back. And then sometimes if you really get them frustrated with it, they'll begin to push on you. And you begin to fall backwards. So then you push back. Do you see what happens in a power struggle? When you push in a power struggle, what does it cause the other person to do? Always, inevitably, the other person pushes back. It's natural human nature, I think. The only way out of power struggles is to what? Based off of this metaphor, analogy or metaphor, I can't remember. Based off of that, the only way to stop a power struggle is to stop pushing. See, that's where the issue comes from with parenting. There was another story, this one that I was involved with, but a while back we were getting ready to go take one of our middle child to his soccer game. And while we were getting ready for the soccer game, Anna came out, and we said, Anna, go get dressed. We let our kids dress themselves. And Anna came out in just this beautiful dress of hers that's a church clothes. It's white, it's dark colored, but it was very, it's, you know, just she came out in this beautiful, this church dress, basically, is what it was. It was a church dress. And we saw her in this church dress, and we're like, oh, man, this, Anna, we want you to go change. Well, why, Dad? Well, I mean, frankly, it's because that's church clothes, and we really want to save our church clothes for, you know, church days. But, Dad, I really want to wear this. I mean, I'm sorry, sweetie. I mean, we're kind of the ones who paid for it. We want you to take really good care of your stuff, so we want you to go do that. And she just got all mad. She stomped off. My wife went and talked to her. She stormed off from her. Mind you, my daughter's 7 years old, right? And so she's just making a big hissy-vissy about this. So all of a sudden, I catch myself, I'm the one who bought this house, and I'm the one who buys your clothes. And I just turned into this little stinking ogre, and I was just a butthead about it. I mean, I was just, as one of my good friends and I who listen to this show always say, I was being a butt. So, I finally calmed down, and I took them to their game, And Anna was in the front seat with me, and I said, you know, sugar, why, what about, remember, never start any questions off with anybody with why. Why makes people defensive? Why were you, why makes it sound like you're questioning what was happening? Always use what. What made you so upset about, because what means that there's reasons. Why questions whether or not it was valid or not. We don't want to question the validity of it. What made you so upset about the dress thing today? What was going on with that? And she goes, well, Dad, what I really wanted to do was be able to wear a dress. I said, well, tell me, you know, what made you want to wear a dress? She goes, well, my little friend Ella always wears a dress. See, mind you, little Ella always has ballet practice right before she gets there. She always comes in this beautiful pink tutu. And so she said, Dad, I wanted to be able to wear a dress like my friend Ella because she wears one. And instantly it was like, oh. What I was perceiving as power struggle was really just her wanting to be like her friend. She goes, Dad, I even picked dark colors out so that way it would blend in with the dirt. So if it got a little bit dirty, it wouldn't ruin the dress. And I didn't feel like you and Mama appreciated that. Okay. Little 7-year-old girl just set me on my bizut. Do you see how I was turning a power struggle into something that it wasn't? Now, my daughter had a desire. She had a thing that she wanted from me. But in both of these cases, in the story of the clothes and the story of the tree, my wife and I attempted to make something a power struggle. Even when in one case it really wasn't. Actually, frankly, I don't think either one of them was, really. I think both of them was just about wanting to meet their desires. And both of us were being unfair and irrational and uncompromising. And what did that do to Anna? And remember, we talk about here, nobody can make you feel anything. Well, you make me so upset when you do that. You make me so, oh, my kid just made me so frustrated. Bullcrap. We are responsible for our emotions. Nobody else is. Our kids do not make us feel anything. They may set off little triggers within us that are sensitive areas or hypersensitive areas for us that may cause explosions, but nobody makes us feel anything. However, people can invite you to do certain things. If I come home, my wife says, how was your day? And I say, forget you, stupid. Are you okay, Trey? No, you know what? This house smells like crap, and I'm tired of coming home, and it looks like crap when I get here. Excuse me? Now, did I just make her upset? Some people will, yeah, you did. No, I did not. I did not make her upset. Now, I might have invited her to in my actions. So in both of the cases with the tree and the clothes, we invited Anna to resist us. We automatically assumed that it must be resistant behavior and jumped straight to that, and what did it become? It became an unpleasant competition for power. This is that example we talked about earlier about leaning into each other. Anna walked up to me with her hands up. She wasn't trying to fight with us on anything. And what do? We leaned into it. Naturally, human nature says, hey, oh, heck no, you ain't going to lean into me, or else I'm going to lean back. I was working with a mom the other day. She wanted some advice about some parenting stuff, and she had contacted me. And she said she had gotten home. She's a single mom, and she has a couple kiddos. And she said she had gotten home one day and she was tired and just really, really dragging. And they just got finished in the middle of a move. And his mom was saying that, you know, I walked in and I walked up to one of my daughters. I opened her door and I said, hey, listen, can you help me do this? Can you help me pack up some of the stuff? They were still in the process of moving some of their stuff from one house to the other. And she said, can you help me with this? I'm really needing to get this knocked out. And the little girl rolled over and just yelled at her mom. Just no, just leave me alone. I just want to rest, and I'm tired, and I've had a bad day. And she goes, well, I understand that, sugar. I understand you had a bad day, but I really do need some help today. It's just a little bit. If you could just help me. And no, leave me alone. Go away. I do not want to talk to you. So she called me, and by this time, you know, she was just, she's just livid. I mean, she's the tram just ready to pummel that little girl, which I understand. Trust me, I understand. She said, what do you think I should do? Once again, there was the look for that magic panacea that if I could just tell her some magical disciplinary technique, then ding, it would all be good and it would be great. My advice was, don't turn this into a power struggle. But you got to remember a few things. Number one, it is never okay for somebody to talk to you that way, period. That is wrong. And she needs to know that ain't going to fly. I mean, it just ain't going to fly anymore. You will not talk to me that way. I understand you get set. upset. I understand you get mad and frustrated. Let's find a better way to do that. But let's square this away. I shared with her a while back. We had Andy Andrews come on, and he talked about a situation with his son, and his son was doing that. I know. And he told him. He said after I calmed myself down, he said I don't really think you're wanting to say I know, because if you were to use that with a boss, here's how they might interpret that. Here's how I'm interpreting that. It's not making it better. What I think you should say is, and gave him an alternative, right? And I shared that story with this mom. But I told her, I said, my guess is your natural reaction is you probably want to drop the hammer. She's like, oh, yeah, I'm ready to come in there and set the law. No phone. You ain't going to be going nowhere. You're going to be wearing a straight jacket to school. I'm going to put you in a chastity belt. Okay, I'm being dramatic. But that was her mentality. And I advised her, don't turn this into a power struggle. I said, you've also got to remember, kids have bad days just like we do. And I said, what would you want to do if it was you and you had a bad day and you came home and you slipped up and you yelled at them or you threw something across the house or something like that? Are those things okay? Heck no. What would you want them to do with you? Kids are entitled to bad days as well. I said, now, I want to make sure that I end on, it ain't okay to talk to you like that. Period. And they need to know that. They need to know definitively that they will not speak to you that way. It's not because you're mom. It's because you're a human, because you're a person. I said, I know your desire is to force that into him. I said, but that's what I would recommend. And I left her alone. And I could tell I didn't have her hook, line, and sinker on that answer. She wanted me to say, you know, drop the hammer. It's time for action.
Cock the hammer. Cock the hammer. It's time for action.
But you see, I don't think that was the right answer. It wouldn't have produced the results that she was really wanting. So I kind of left her with that little tidbit that we had talked about earlier. And I said, you know, my encouragement is I would just use this as the opportunity to talk to her about what's okay to do and not to do. Understand that she is a fallible person, just like everybody else, just like me, just like her. And she's entitled to have really bad days. We need to discuss what's okay to do and what's not okay to do. But fundamentally, don't turn this into a power struggle or else it becomes a fight. And I don't feel like I had her hook, line, and sinker on that, but I left it at that. And she came to the next day and said, you know what happened? And I said, what? And she goes, I didn't do anything. I chose not to push this issue at the moment. She goes, the next day, my daughter came to me and said, I want you to know I'm so sorry for how I talked to you yesterday. That was not okay. I was having a bad day, and I shouldn't have done that. And she said, I took that as an opportunity to tell her, hey, it's not okay to talk to me that way, but I definitely get it. You see, the only way to kill a power struggle is to stop leaning in. So I started thinking, okay, well, let's don't just leave it at this. Let's talk about what are some of the solutions to the power struggle. So I went ahead and pulled up, did a little bit of internet research, thought let's take a look around, and here's what I found. All the solutions for power struggles suck. I'm not saying every one of them suck. I'm not saying that they're all bad. I'm not saying that don't go do a research for it because you'll come out a worse parent than you started or anything like that. But I'm telling you, I went and looked out just to see what was out there on power struggles, and the reality is none of them addressed what I was looking for. None of them hit the real true problems of them. I mean, there were ideas like problem solving. I mean, okay, there's choices, you know, teaching your kids choices, giving them warnings and consequences, having family meetings, set an agenda, having what they one person called the wheel of choice. Now, I may have just pissed off several of y'all because y'all have a wheel of choice or something like that. But none of these things address the problem. All of these address the things that we are not looking for. They're not addressing the real issues that we're talking about. It's not addressing the issue of control. All of these things are wonderful ideas in and of themselves, but they are not addressing the real problem. The real problem is not that your kid is power struggling against you. The problem is there's still an erroneous belief system that I can control my kid or I can control my parent. You see, they all, these ideas, they rest in the false belief that we control anything outside of ourselves. That is the one thing I will tell you that I believe we can control. You can't even control life situations. Crap happens to us. bad things happens to us. People die. People get diagnosed with cancer. People get sick. People break their limbs and lose them sometimes. Crap happens. The only thing that I really am able to control is how I respond to those things. That is the only control that I contain within myself. Anything else is that false belief that we can control something outside of ourselves. And I believe that it's even worse when we get this crap idea that we can control our children or others individual. I mean, I just, you know, in general, we get this mentality that we can control anybody that's out there. So when it came to all of these stories between myself, my wife, the mom that I talked to a while back, what was the common denominator in all these stories? You see, they all had the desire to force behavior. Let's say that again. What was the common denominator? What were all those problems linked inexorably to the idea and the erroneous idea of control? They all contain the desire to force someone else to do something, to force somebody to not build that pedestal, to climb that tree, to force somebody to go change their clothes into something else that they feel they should, or to force that person to never talk to that person that way again. The desire is to force the behavior, to force it rather than to teach the behavior that we want different. It's all about the desire to force that behavior rather than to teach them how to live the behaviors that we want them to live it ourselves, to be that person, to model for them exactly how we're supposed to treat somebody. That it's not about modeling them to fight and to resist and to push back. It is about teaching them to be that person that we want them to be by meeting them in the middle. What do we do then to stop the power struggle? I'm going to give you my answers to it, mostly because the other answers I just thought just stank face. I'm going to give you my answer. How do you really solve the power struggle? It is not a behavioral issue in most cases. It is a heart condition. It is the way that you are filtering. We talk frequently here that if we're not careful, we as parents and as people in general with everyone, not just our kids, can be spouses or bosses, we get a filter put on. And if that filter is a negative filter, then everything that we see our kids do or our spouse do or our boss do gets filtered under that negative light. And everything that they do, we interpret as negative. So it's really about changing the condition of the heart, how we see people, how we think of people. The first thing that we have to do is you have to do this. You're not going to like it. You have to acknowledge that you do not control your kid. It does not matter how little they are, how young they are, how tiny they are, how much dependent they are on you for sustenance and clothing and diaper changes and whatever else. You do not control your kids. You never have. You never will. There's nothing that you can do to brainwash them to create that control. You know, I just got finished reading the wonderful book by George Orwell called 1984, and one of the things at the very end was the one last thing that they did to break this civil disobedient person was they caused him to love Big Brother. See, I find that fascinating because that is the only way to ultimately control somebody. Which, again, I do believe is erroneous. You will never control your kids. Now, once again, like we said earlier, you may influence them. You may influence them with fear. You may make it to where they are terrified of getting their butt whooping or losing their favorite video game or not getting paid their allowance, that they may do it out of that fear. That is not control. You may be able to, you know, entice them with wonderful things like candy or cookie or extra time to stay up or whatever else. That is not control. That is reward. That is influencing the decision that they fundamentally make. It is not control. Number two, what to do to stop the power struggle. Try to seek and understand your kids' feelings and then help your kids understand them. You see, this is a difficult one a lot of times because so often when we see our kids and our perception pushing back up against us and thrusting into us in the power struggle, real or perceived, remember, perception is, if I would say it's just as, if not more powerful than reality. When we see our kids pushing back into us, a lot of times we have a tendency to focus on whose emotions? Ours. I'm angry. I'm upset. I feel like you're being defiant. Take Anna with the tree, right? Anna wanted to climb the tree. So I was puzzled. I didn't understand. So I had to sit down and I had to understand. You want to know how that conversation went down? Let me tell you how that conversation actually went down. I actually crawled in the car with me. And I'm sorry, guys, not the tree in this case. I'm thinking actually about the skirt, the skirt she wanted to wear, the little dress that she wanted to wear that we didn't want her to wear. And I got in the car and she was driving. You know how I started that conversation off? I said, okay, sugar, talk to me a little bit about, you know, what feelings were you experiencing earlier with the skirt, with me and mama? She goes, I don't know. Okay, well, talk to me. What were you feeling? She goes, well, I guess I was sad and I was angry. Oh, okay, all right. So you're sad and angry. What exactly, remember, we never use the word why. What exactly made you sad? I don't know. Well, no, talk to me about that. What exactly do you feel like was making you sad? I really don't know, Dad. Okay, plan B. All right, so you said you felt mad then, sugar. What was making you feel mad? Well, and that was when she broke into her explanation about the little girl who has the skirt every week, and she wanted a skirt like her friend. You see, whenever we take the time to understand what our kids are feeling, it allows us to take pressure off the hands to stop pushing into it. Because understanding the emotions and the thoughts and the feelings behind something makes things powerful. I've said on here multiple times that when I used to run interns and they would come to me and say, this kid was just a little turd to me and I just want to punch him in the face, I would ask him that one question. You guys who've been longtime listeners know what I asked him. Have you read their file? Because when they would crack open these files sometimes and they would read the horrific atrocities of abuse, sexual, mental, emotional, physical, that they went through, they'd come back and go, oh my God, this kid has been through so much. No wonder he hates authority. Have you read their file? You see, what that really was it was the answer of number two here. Have you sought to understand why they are feeling the way they are feeling? Once you do that, you got to help your kids understand it as well. You see, my daughter had a desire to climb the tree. And when she was told no, that she couldn't climb the tree, she felt like all her work was not considered important by mama. When Anna wanted to wear the skirt and be a little dress and be like her friend, she was mad and angry. When the little girl of the mom who was tired and wanted to rest, she just wanted respect in that. See, when we can use our ability to stop forcing in to those power struggles with our kids, and we can attempt to try to see them for what they're really feeling and choose not to run it through the filter of defiance, because with defiance, you have to push back against defiance. If we can choose to avoid that filter and understand what they're really feeling and help them understand what they're really feeling and then talk to them about a better way to express it.
Success!
And last, number three, when you can take the time to find and teach them to find the middle-of-the-road solution. Let me tell you, you got it, man. Play a little audio for you guys by Diamond Rio, because I think they said it best.
I can start walking your way, you can start walking mine. We meet in the middle, meet that old Georgia pine. We gain a lot of ground, because we both give a little.
You see, you gain a lot of ground when you meet in the middle. And that's a fundamental thing that we can teach our kids, that I am willing to sacrifice the things that I find important in some ways. There's some things we won't let go of. Sometimes we need to completely let go of things because they're absolutely 100% not important in any capacity. And in some cases, we're willing to let go of a little bit because some things aren't as important to us as others. When we teach our kids that we're willing to meet in the middle, we are teaching them such a powerful thing. What we are doing fundamentally is we are backing off the hands and saying, you know what, I'm not going to push on this. Because you and your relationship with me is more important than getting exactly what I want. I'm willing to compromise on that. It's a powerful thing. A while back, I was in a meeting. And while I was in that meeting, I was given a report on my segment of some of what was going on. And I made a comment, and it was meant very superfluous. I wasn't trying to be hurtful or mean or derisive, but I had made a mention that we had worked on something that we had ghetto-rigged it. And that had offended a lady in the crowd, and she came up and approached me afterwards and said that she had found that pretty offensive. And she said that it was very inappropriate for me to say because it was racial. And I said, no, absolutely it's not. I said, what's racial is if I had said something hurtful or mean because it came from a bad place. This was just coming by using, a phrase that's no different than saying redneck engineering. And I said, however, I want you to know that if it bothers you, I'm willing to give it up because my relationship with you is more important than saying that word. Now, do you see how powerful that is? It was like giving in and saying, you're right, it was, you know, racially motivated. No, of course it wasn't. I stood my ground on what I said, but ultimately I valued the relationship more than I value a dumb word. Don't get me wrong. I love to shred politically correct crap. I think it's a detriment to this country. But also, I will never do it at the expense of my relationship with people that I value and care about. That is the fundamental principle we're talking today about our kids. You are more important than being right. You, me being right. You are more important than me winning this argument. You are more important than me feeling like you're pushing up against. That doesn't say that we don't set boundaries. The mom needed to set a boundary with how she was talking. I needed to set a boundary with how Anna was storming off and slamming doors. But never at the expense of the relationship. That is the only way that I know to effectively beat this stuff. You know, I mean, the suggestions that were made on all of this stuff. I mean, they really weren't bad suggestions. Problem solving is a wonderful thing. Teaching kids choice is a wonderful thing. Giving a kid a warning and then having them establish what the consequence is going to be is not a bad idea. Having family meetings and agendas aren't horrible. Even that wheel of choice, as doofus as it sounds to me, it isn't necessarily a horrible idea. It does not, however, approach the real things that are going on here. Remember, the definition of a power struggle is an unpleasant or violent competition for power. And if you are not careful, any one of those techniques can create more competition for power. The only way to back out of the power struggle hand analogy is to step back and stop pushing. Are you ready to give up pushing on your kid? Don't get me wrong. I don't think that's going to be something you're going to say, yup, and it's over. You got to retrain your brain. Sometimes getting out of the butt parenting takes time and retraining. And remember, it's going to take you time and retraining, and guess what? It's going to take your kids time and retraining, but it's time to start right now. Let go of your power struggles. Remember that your relationship with them is more important than winning. And you do not control your kids. Well, guys, that's all that we have for this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. Don't forget to come join us this week, as we're going to be debuting our Bag in the Saddle Real Family Guys podcast episode this Friday with Jeff and I. We have a great time. It's actually some of the listeners' personal favorite shows to listen to. You got to come check us out. We have a great time. We pick great topics. And, guys, we heat it up. I'm telling you, you definitely want to come check us out this week. I hope you guys have a great, great day today on this wonderful Wednesday, or whenever you're listening to this show. In the future, nothing else. We'll see you guys on the Friday.